Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back to the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Paul Kaharsky with me, Jason Martin,
Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, back on Monday. They're going high school football. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
I'm taking this gig. David Reed, the chairman of the board behind the glass, spinning the dials radio style for us today. 615-737-1045. If you would like to join this program, rest of the hour, we've got our good friend Dave McGinnis in the house. Coach, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks because I've been schedule's been a little strange.
Yeah, J-Mart, I haven't seen you. I usually see a PK. What's up?
How you doing?
You and I watched a beautiful sunset kind of together yesterday.
Well, that's
beautiful. Were getting out of your car and I was driving out and you stopped me and I said, isn't that romantic?
Very pleasant.
You said yes.
Isn't that romantic when you nearly ran over me when you were backing up out of there? That was good.
I had you in my I've got one of those fancy backup cans.
Well, of course you do. So. Of course you do. Big money's hard to hide. J-Mart, Withrow and he's got a problem now because you might be Wally Pipp.
That's what I said, and I'm accepting resumes for further consideration. But we go through this every year. These guys, the paperwork doesn't come through. Vrabel's not in Madden, and he said it's because he just didn't turn the paperwork in. And I didn't get Hutton or Withrow's paperwork about being out these 2 days.
And that's why I say Withrow and Hutton. I mean, they're taking a chance here.
Big chance.
Well, I don't think that the coach in Madden would have gone Luke Stocker on 4th-and-1 on Monday night.
What's his name? Somebody remind me of the coach in Madden.
I can't even remember. When
Twitter,
I first played
like
it.
Phil Jones.
Yeah, it's something Jones.
Yeah, very basic.
It's not Mike Vrabel, both in appearance and name. That's where we can leave it.
I think he's
right
an African-American
there.
Dude. So, yes, I mean, they went,
a black coach.
They made it different on purpose.
You got to turn in the paperwork.
Yeah, yes. So, Coach, we came back with that call from Titans Radio on Monday night. How painful is that to continue to have to relive?
Well, you don't.
The last
I mean,
3 days.
Look, anytime you make a call in this league, I've made calls. I mean, you know, I've done it for 30 something years, and if it doesn't work, you're going to get second guessed. I mean, that's just the way it is. But you make it, and you go. You never make a call, and you never design a play, and you never go that you don't think is going to work. You never do. But if it doesn't, I mean, for whatever reason, if it works, it's fine. If it doesn't work, you open yourself completely up, and that's just the life you live as a player or as a coach in this league, and you've got to take it.
Here's what I want to know. Every coach says, I don't second-guess myself. But do you go home and lay in bed second-guessing yourself?
Oh, yeah. You go home and say, because you want it to work. You want it to work. I mean, just like the two-point play in Wembley. You want it to work. And so, I mean, it's human nature. You know, to say at the moment you thought that was the correct thing to do or you wouldn't have done it. But when it doesn't work, well, sure. I mean, it's human nature. You go, things would be a lot nicer if it had worked.
One thing, and I heard you say this on the broadcast Monday, and I was saying it in my living room sitting in the recliner watching the game, is two plays before that, Mariota kept the football instead of handing it to Derrick Henry. You hand it to Derrick Henry over the left side, he had space. Mariota got stuffed, lost yardage, then led to that play to Deion Lewis and led to the fourth. That whole thing was a calamity, but I will ask you this. After it fails on fourth down, and then the second guessing begins, how quickly does it shut up if you don't give up the 97-yard touchdown on the next play? If you're able to get off the field, we're not really talking about this.
J-Mart, fair point. And that's why everything, you know, every play in a game, and I mean, this is really cliche to say, but every game, every play in a game matters, okay? And so you're 100% right, but what happens then is if you go through the failure of not making it, and then not only on the drive, but the next play after, you get a 97-yard bust, and you very seldom see 97-yard runs in the National Football League.
Right.
You know, you don't see it. I mean, it was an 8-man front. It was a tackle pull play. It was a backside tackle pull that, you know, come across, and when you're behind the line of scrimmage, I know this stuff. When a tackle pulls, you've got to jump two gaps as a linebacker. And Rashawn Evans did a nice job of coming up there and forcing the thing. But, Wesley Woodyard on the inside didn't get over enough. So he had a left arm out there for an arm tackle. It's not going to work. And then it's an 8-man front. And if your safety takes a bad angle and a guy hits it with speed, you know, there's nothing left there. You know, and Dory Jackson was the only guy that had a chance to walk him down, and he did it from a dead stop. But all of that being said, it was a 97-yard touchdown. After a failed fourth down, you're 100% right. Then it compounds itself.
I understand Vrabel saying guard tackle moves are not easy. People make them all over the league all the time, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes out of underperformance. We've got some people who say Jack Conklin would make a good guard. I'm not saying it's an easy transition to make right now. I mean, Josh Klein looks like the weakest of some weak links inside. Why not either move Conklin inside for a trial with Kelly outside, or try Kelly inside? He's played some guard. He told me he can play guard. I know that's a guy being confident in himself. Dennis Kelly is one of the five best offensive linemen on this team, and he's watched all but two games from the sideline. There's got to be some. I am rarely the guy who says you got to do something or it can't be worse. I know it can be worse. Corey Levin played for Spain in London. It wasn't better. But, I mean, they're on pace for more sacks than got Ken Wisenhunt fired. Why are they not trying something?
Well, I mean, you know, clearly they know a lot better than we do.
Sure.
You know, what's going on there. Conklin, let's talk with Conklin first. I'm not sure Conklin's still all the way back, you know, from the ACL. And that takes longer. So to take him, you know, coming off of that type of injury and move him in, you know, I can understand that. I don't know how good Kelly would be in there. I don't know. Clearly they've worked all the time with these people in there. And so they've got a reason why they're not making the change. But, you know, as you say, and sometimes, like you said, it's not easy to do it, but sometimes you have to do it. And so, but for a reason, they're not doing it. So we'll see where that goes. I can't answer that to tell you why they're not doing it, because I haven't worked with that offensive line. I'm not in that offensive line room. I'm not in those personnel meetings constantly, you know, and seeing what's going on from the surface when you see when you're not being successful with an offensive line. And again, it's fair questions because you say, this isn't working. Why don't we try something else?
This team's running a third of the time on first down, which is 11th in the league. So predictable, but it's not terrible. But what's terrible is they're averaging 3.3 yards per carry on that, the worst in the league.
Not being successful, right.
What do you do there? And don't you have to run somewhat less? The answer he gave yesterday, Vrabel, was a little bit Rubisky-esque. And when Rubisky said, we're going to keep running it and keep running it because I think it's going to pop, he got crushed here. And Vrabel basically said, if we're in the game, we're going to keep running it to try to establish the play action and maybe something will open up, which sounds a little bit like Rubisky.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that comparison, but I do know this. If it to be able, the big problem in that ball game Monday, guys, you guys both watched it. You're smart guys. You know ball. The big problem we had, you know, whatever play you ran, you weren't successful enough on first and second downs, because when you start looking at the yardage on third downs that this team faced on Monday, yes, gave yourself no chance. And so to me, you know, it's not necessarily run pass. It's just get something where you can manage the chains on first and second down. That's what's important to me.
The Midday 180 breaks down the X's and O's with NFL Films' Greg Cosell. Presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Wednesday afternoons at 12:20 on 104.5 The Zone.
Titans staying with Henry in the backfield. On first down, Mariota looking. In trouble. He's swallowed again. Taken down back at the 45 by Merciless. Texans showing a four-man rush. Mariota stepping up, sacked again. They have already sacked. The Texans have sacked Marcus Mariota five times in this game.
Welcome back to the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. Little Stone Temple Pilots bringing us back. Paul Kaharski with me. I'm Jason Martin.
So how much, Dave, does Marcus, how much is he culpable in these sacks? Because he gets rid of the ball quickly a lot, but when he doesn't, he really doesn't.
Yeah, Paul, that's a fair question for any quarterback in this league. And look, anytime there are sacks and you start looking at sacks, and I've been through this a lot, when you start looking, there's three elements that go into it. First element is identification on the front as to what they're bringing. Second element is how do you handle that front with the assignments that you have man-to-man, how are you going to block them, all right? But before any of that goes on, it's what are you doing pre-snap when you get up there with the quarterback, because he can change the protections. Most quarterbacks in this league, Marcus is the same way, and the center, you can change protections once you get up, because defenses aren't normally going to line up in this league, especially in down and pass. Down and pass. So I'm saying where they know you're going to throw, which was a big issue Monday night. Down and pass is where most of those things came in. So they're not going to line up static. So what you're going to have to do once you get up, you've got a preset protection that you've got called, but you've got the ability to change it. And if you don't either make the proper change or you get the improper matchups, okay, because of your failure to change it, then that is on the quarterback. That comes before you ever hold on to the ball.
Does he need to change out of Jonnu Smith against J.J. Watt?
Probably does. And so to me, what I'm saying is, that's not it all the time. Sometimes you have the proper protection, you have everything set, and you get beat. You know, coaches, when they're filming, they're timing these things, seeing how long it's going to take, seeing if the routes are running, see if there's separation, you know, with the routes. All of that stuff comes into it. But the quarterback surely has some part of it, yes.
And people think I'm being too hard. I'm not saying he gets out of all of this stuff. I'm saying, as opposed to 22 for 23, there are a couple throwaways that I'd take there. And I think there's some 7-yard sacks that he could turn into 2-yard sacks.
Well,
and that those 5 yards can make a hell of a difference when you get back up and it's 3rd and 12 instead of 3rd and 17.
Yeah, you never want to take a sack as a quarterback. I mean, you don't. That's not what you're in the business for. You know, and that's not what you want to do. So, and clearly, and this quarterback, you know, every time he comes out, I mean, he's willing to take the blame for everything, which is not true either. You know, but yes, absolutely. When there's a sack that goes on, it's a lot more than just the offensive line. It's a lot more than just the wrong protection. It's a lot more because you've got tight ends and running backs involved too. So to your point, yes, there are times he could do better. And then there are other times when he's a victim of somebody else not doing better.
Certainly you have to learn on the NFL level. It's different than it is in college in terms of what you're facing on that. Do you feel like he's progressing in terms of his acumen pre-snap, or do you see a little bit of a regression, or is he still about the same as he was last season when you first started really paying attention to Tua?
No, I don't think there's any regression. I just think it's a matter of matchups. You know, because every week is different. It's a matter of matchups. It's a matter of what your game plan is, and plus it's a matter of point in the game as to where you are. As I said, J-Mart, there's not a whole lot that can happen good. In other words, you and I and Paul, we could play corner at 3rd and 19.
Right.
We can play corner at 3rd and 15, okay? Because all you've got to do, because the defensive linemen aren't worried about the run. They're in no conflict downs. They're just teeing off. Coverage-wise, I mean, that's a piece of cake. So, you know, now, you're going to hold on to the ball to try to get it. You can dump it off, and then, of course, clearly people say, well, you're just dumping it off, and you didn't have a chance to get the first down. So, to me, again, everything's interlocked, just like we were talking about the 4th and 1 fail, and then the next play goes for 97. Everything's interlocked in the National Football League, all right? So, you've got to go back to success on 1st and 2nd down that keeps you out of a lot of these other problems.
So, Thursday, Dan Quinn says at halftime of Falcons-Saints, We need to run the ball more, despite the fact that Matt Ryan's throwing great in the first half and they're utilizing all their weapons, and that's where you have your matchup advantage against New Orleans. You're not necessarily going to be able to run against them, and if you're Atlanta, you're a much better passing team than you are a running team anyway. So I'm looking at matchups, and you're talking about matchups, and Odell Beckham on Sunday says it wasn't in our game plan to challenge them down the field. You said on the broadcast early in that game that the Titans did not believe that the secondary of the Texans could handle Corey Davis down the field. Explain to me why Corey Davis only has 4 targets in that football game.
Well, because once it gets to be down and pass, then they can start doubling him up. All right. And look, the touchdown that Jonnu had.
Right.
The reason Jonnu got that touchdown, because they were doubling Corey Davis. What happened was, I mean, if you want to go through that, what happened was is that Tyrann Mathieu had, it was 12 personnel, 2-by-2 set. Tyrann had Jonnu man-to-man. Now, he had him on a pressure rush type look. And so when Jonnu sugar blocks that the outside linebacker, then Mathieu goes immediately to buzz underneath what you call a thumb slice to go double Davis, who was, you know, running, taking off. They were in man-to-man. That's how you got that touchdown there. They were doubling him early on those, because that was 2nd and 2. That was second and two. That's a conflict down. They were going to double the wideouts on that if they got max protection, which they thought they were going to get. Jonnu sugar blocks him, which means he holds him for a minute. They're both looking at the quarterback and Jonnu are looking at Matthew spin out there, and they get that. Now, when it gets to third and pass or second and pass or however, when the long down and distances, they can take away your receivers.
Did you not see him open? I mean, he basically disappeared. He was on a milk carton for two quarters.
Well, I didn't
came back. Did you notice that he just was not open?
No, I mean, I can't
see it all.
I was not watching that
right.
Just to see where he was because there were some other issues. I mean, that, you know, I'm looking to call to see what is getting ready to happen with the play. I didn't know. When you go back and watch the tape, and I'm sure they, you know, and they have, and I have too, and you guys do too. You go back and watch it. You can say after the fact, he was open there. But again, previous plays make a big difference.
This isn't for you, Dave. You can earmuff this because it's Vrabel criticism, and I know you're not getting involved. But Vrabel, when I asked him why they didn't keep going to Corey Davis with only four targets when they've been targeting him 10 times a game, said, well, they changed the way they were covering him. They changed to cover two.
Okay.
Well, I mean, he's beaten cover two plenty. Cover two isn't some defense that stifles people. The touchdown against New England to Corey Davis, which was a beautiful throw, was against cover two. I thought that was just the answer where, like, he was done with it and he didn't want to keep going. What scares you about the Jets? They've run it a bunch in the few games that they've won.
Just what you just said.
But how have they run it? How bad were the run defenses that they ran it against?
Not great, but they can run it. Isaiah Crowell can run the football. And look, you've done this a long time. So have I. So have you. Week to week, don't think when somebody comes in here, just because their record is not what it is, that it's just going to be an automatic okay. Okay? That concerns me a little bit. Herndon, their young tight end, is starting to come on when you start really watching tape and looking to him. That concerns me a little bit. But to begin with, you can't let them have any glimmer of hope of getting a run game started. And the other thing that bothers me too, Paul, is that they've got a really high-priced defense over there with some guys that were clearly that have got ability. I know Trumaine Johnson. We had him, you know, we drafted him at the Rams. He's got a $72.5 million, you know, hickey that he got from them. He can play. They've got players. Leonard Williams, they've got players across the front. They just haven't been playing. Now, when you're making money, does that mean you're a good player? Well, it means at one time you were able to do something, and those guys aren't old guys. I mean, so that bothers me too, is anytime you've got a team that has underperformed, that sooner or later, one a day, you might catch them when they are performing.
So, I've mentioned this on the Big Six before, and we talked about it on Monday Night Titans as well. Tennessee right now is 17th in the league in terms of rushing yards given up. It's about 30 yards more than they've given up the last two seasons. They were giving up 88 yards a game in 2016 and 2017. They're basically at 117 right now. It was second and fourth in the league in rush defense the past 2 years, and now they're outside the top 15. What's the difference?
Explosive plays. 197-yard run.
Yeah, I know that changes a lot.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done this. You know, it numbers change. When you play the numbers game like that, I mean, when you're really looking at run defense, you got to see how you do in that ball game over the course. But if you get an explosive, J-Mart, especially in the run game, because you very seldom get those big of an explosives in the National Football League in the run game. When you get that, that jacks that number way up, okay? You're only one missed tackle away from going from fourth to 15th with a big number like that.
Yeah. Well, even earlier in the season, it was about 50 yards difference, and we didn't see nearly as many explosive plays. Are we missing more tackles now? Are the angles not as good? Like, is there a technique issue at all that you see?
Figured out something?
Yeah.
Well, here's to me, and I mean, I can't go, I haven't looked and gone, I told you what happened on that long run.
Yeah.
I mean, I can specifically tell you that, but it only takes, if people see a little bit of a crease or a little bit of a crack when they're watching tape and saying, if we'll keep pounding this, we can get this. Now, you know, we were missing Woodyard for a while, you know, in there, that hurt them for a while, but whenever you're not playing good run defense, it's usually a combination of a lot of things. You can't just look at it and say, well, we're missing too many tackles. If you're getting up a lot of runs, you are missing some tackles. But also, before you ever get a chance to tackle, J-Mart, you got to go back and see where the gap fits are, too. And then you've got to see if you're getting enough knockback up front, all right? And if the separation between your first and second level of defense, if you're not building a flat wall all the time like you should be. So there's a combination of a lot of things that go into it. But numbers-wise, it's explosives.
Vols basketball on the Zone. Tennessee and Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Sunday morning at 10:30 on 104.5 The Zone.
Final segment, first hour, Thursday edition, Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. No Withrow, no Hutton, loafing.
Fire!
In Cookeville.
No, no, no. Let me tell you something. The way this has gone, I mean, this has been quality radio right here. Those two, they got an issue.
You know, you're not supposed to lose your job due to injury, but there are many people that have.
They're healthy.
They ain't hurt.
They ain't hurt.
So we were talking during the break, yeah. Coach, about the money on the Jets defense and yes. The free agents that they've brought in.
Yes, no, and I mean when you start looking at the way they've built this football team up there at the Jets, I mean all the money right now and all the big money free agents and all the draft picks. Go back and look at from 16 on the drafts they've made. I think four number ones, two twos, three. They've put some money into this defense, and I think that was what Todd Bowles' idea was. He knew he was going to get a franchise quarterback because he had an early pick. He was going to get a defense put together that could prop it up until his young quarterback could come along and still be on his rookie quarterback contract. And, you know, when Paul asked me earlier, what worries you about this game with the Jets? I mean, you look at the record and you say, well, what worries me is they've got players on defense. They haven't been playing real well, but when you've got, it's different, and we talked about this. It's different when you're losing games and you don't have people. When you're losing games and have people, and then as I just said, every now and then, those people that you have that aren't playing well, they'll all decide to jump up and play for 1 week, and they're probably looking at this game, you know, as saying, we'll jump up and play a little bit here, we got a chance. That's what bothers me.
I thought Avery Williamson did a nice job here, but was eminently replaceable, certainly at the money that the Jets gave him. What have you seen from him up there?
No, he's playing the run. I mean, he's playing okay. I mean, he was a good run player here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he has been. And I mean, he's been a good behind the line linebacker run player his whole career. You know, he's a physical guy. Now, of course, anytime you're playing on the second level in the National Football League, you're dependent on what's going on up front. You're also dependent on what's going on in the ball game. If you're losing ball games, people can do a lot of things offensively to you. But he's been playing okay.
What about just the idea that this is just a game that no one is going to be paying attention to outside of these two markets? So I'm not saying nobody in Nashville is going to be paying attention, but how do you get yourself up for a matchup like this after playing on Monday Night Football in a divisional game? I mean, certainly you have to win every game, and right now you can't afford to lose a game like this. But is there something to be said just for it just being hard to go play this game on Sunday afternoon?
J-Mart, I never have, thought that in the National Football League. You've only got 16 of them, and this is what you do for a living. I mean, you know, this is, you know, what these coaches and players, this is what they do for a living. This is who they are. This is what you, I mean, yeah. To me, there's never been, I don't understand, unless you're at the end of the season, I've seen it before, and I'm not naive enough, I've done this for 30 plus years, sometimes when you're completely done and you're out of it and you got guys that know that they're done, they'll never be back. I've seen that happen when you talk about, less than what you're doing, but that at this point and stage of the game, I don't even see that coming into focus. Now, from the outside, you can look at it and say, well, that was a big Monday night game, dot, dot, dot. Now, this is a game with two teams that don't have a winning record, that are playing. But internally, that's not it at all.
When you look at these other these teams that are in the hunt, so to speak, there's like 11 teams that seem to be in the hunt. There's only, two or three that you really like at all, and even they have holes. The Patriots are not maybe the most explosive version of the Patriots. Certainly, the Chiefs' defense is something that you can exploit. Pittsburgh's got Ben Roethlisberger going off at the mouth about Antonio Brown right now and saying he's earned the right to do that. How do you feel about the Titans when you look at them in relation to the Broncos of the world and some of these other teams that are right there in the mix with them?
You know what, Jay Mart? The only thing the Titans can do right now is win this next game, because if you don't win a game, it doesn't really matter how you stack up against anybody else that you don't play or that is chasing the same thing you are. You know, the Titans issue right now, and we'll talk about what's happened, they've lost AFC games. Okay. And so to have any kind of hope at all to do anything, you've got to be able to win this next game. And that's what you're looking at. And again, that's what the league wanted. They wanted parity, and they've got it with what's going on. I think Paul's got some numbers over here. When you look at the number of and you look at who's ahead of you.
A lot of traffic there.
A lot of traffic.
Denver's ahead of them. Cincinnati's ahead of them. Miami's ahead of them and has, conference play plus a head-to-head. Indianapolis is ahead of them, has the head-to-head. You have to beat them in the finale to have a chance. Then you can drive it to division record. You have to at least tie them there. Then it would go to common opponents. You've got to finish strong against these common opponents, obviously, to have any chance. You got to get to Baltimore, which right. has the last wild card now and has the head-to-head. So you got to be a game better than them. Can yeah. you be a game better than Baltimore right now is
and,
the question.
And so that and again, I mean, when you look at it numerically, just like Paul did, and he's 100% right. But so if you are the Titans, which we are, you got to win this game. You got to win this game. Nothing else really matters nor counts until you win a yeah. game.
And I look at it baseball-wise, Jay Mark, too much. You know, when you have that many teams between you and sure. the wild card spot, say it's sure. just too many teams to get past. But if you look at this realistically, Titans are 5-6. The teams in front of them that I listed, Denver's 5-6, Cincinnati's 5-6, Miami's 5-6, Indy's 6-5, Baltimore's 6-5. Win the game, see what happens to everybody else, and let's assess where they are after that one. And then keep doing that every week. It's very cliched, but that's the way it's going to go. I think you have to minimally win 4 out of 5, and Indianapolis definitely has to be one of them. And if you're losing 1 of 5 to have a chance, it's got to be a loss to the Giants or Washington. You can't lose another AFC game.
Yeah, and that's not cliched. You're spot on. I mean, it's not cliched at all. I mean, you hit it, and your question, Jay Mark, was very relevant as far as saying, well, what about Denver? What about these guys that are ahead of them? They're kind of about all in the same boat.
Right.
So you just got to win your games first. Win your games first, and you I mean, everybody says you can't scoreboard watch, but everybody scoreboard watches, you know, especially at this time of year. But unless you're taking care of your business, then it doesn't really matter what the other scoreboard
is. And the last thing these guys need to be doing on Sunday, and I think there's some mental weakness there. I know they don't want to hear it. This is a late afternoon game. Some of these games are going to be in. If they see, I'm not looking at who's playing at what time, but if Miami's score is in, if Baltimore's score is in, the last thing they need to be doing is looking at that scoreboard and going, oh, we have to match now. Uh-oh.
Pretty much all of them will be. Baltimore, Denver, Miami, all of them will have played before the Titans kick on Sunday. So that's,
should
that's
be a good
big
thing. But look, it doesn't matter. It's not like if X happens, we need to do Y. If they lose this game, it's a tombstone game.
Yeah, just win the game.
And I'm not so sure the last game wasn't a tombstone game.
Yeah. No, I guess that's probably true. One thing that you look at and you think the schedule sort of favors the Titans down the stretch. They get 4-6 at home. It's not a murderer's row. You still get 2 from the NFC East, which is not a particularly good division. You should be able to take advantage of those games. But problem is you should have been able to take care of Buffalo. You can't look at it that way. Even if the schedule favors you, the problem with the Titans has been it seems like they've had a tendency to punch down in some of these games, which is the only thing that worries me about the Jets game on Sunday is they are a more talented team than the New York Jets. There's no question in my mind about that, regardless
roster
of the money
wise,
on the defense.
From a roster,
yes, absolutely. So you've got to actually go out there and play like a good football team, which means you need to beat a bad team fairly convincingly.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter how convincingly yeah. you beat them. You just need to play well and win the game. And that's why, you know, when Paul asked at the beginning of this segment, you know, what worries me about the Jets? That exact point, Jay Mart, right there.
They've show got some progress on pass protection, too, here. You know, I talked to Taylor Lewan yesterday, and he said, we need to finish the season right where we are in the sack number. Now, it's unrealistic to think they're going to pitch a shutout the rest of the way, but we need to see far better pass protection than they've offered. And this isn't a particularly threatening pass rush. I don't think you look at the Jets, and if you're Marietta, and go, oh, I'm going to wake up super sore on Monday. Go stop them. Stone them.
Yeah, block. Get them blocked. Get them blocked. And look, last week we talked about, Paul, you and I sat here and talked about, you know, what do you think of the keys? You know, I said, protect our quarterback and affect theirs. Well, we didn't do that at Houston. Well, we've got to do the same thing here, but to your key, I think quarterback protection is pretty much at the top of the list, Paul.
We've probably got less than a minute. One thing that we had 7 penalties for 50 yards on Monday night. The offensive line has gotten penalties increasingly, it seems like, and they've struggled at times during the season. I have no idea if this is too rudimentary of a question to ask, but...
Go for it.
Is there something...
I'll be the judge of that.
Is there a way to coach against penalties? Is there a way on the NFL level to help guys not get penalties, or at that point, is it up to them as professionals?
Well, pre-snap penalties are...
Absolutely. Right.
Pre-snap penalties are all on the player. Okay, you know, but now, and again... Holding in the National Football League is a pretty subjective thing. I mean, it's kind of like what crew have you got? What crew do you have? How are they going to call it? But pre-snap penalties, that's not coaching. That's on the players. You know, pre- and post-snap penalties, those...
There's nothing you can really do on the sidelines, is there?
Well, you tell the players, if you commit those penalties, you are in dire trouble.
Yeah, that's those types of things. Where it's in the coach's control is you don't play that person. I mean, if it happens,
there's no threat of that here because there's zero depth.
No. But I'm just saying, as a general thought, when you go into it and look at it. Now, the holding and those types of things, you know, what I used to call competition penalties. Those, you know, if you've got somebody that just physically can't do it, well, then you've got to replace them. But if a competition penalty, that's going to happen in this league just because of the way it's called.
They've scouted the officials well here, for sure. I think better. Other staffs have done it. I think Vrabel's done it better.
I agree.
Coach, it's always fun.
Thanks, Dave.
No, look, this is the way it's going to be right now. I mean, I can see it. Look, you know, Hutton, Withrow, I mean, you guys are probably going to be in a fight for the 6 o'clock slot.
These 2 days, if Jason Martin wants a real shot at this job, he will have to repeat these words. I renounce the University of Alabama football team. If he speaks those words, he's got a chance.
J. Martin, just hang with it. He may relent on that a little bit.